Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Dan Zwicker of Consolidated Grain and Barge Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, Dave.
Well, you would have thought that you couldn't see more shock and awe that everybody was leaning in corn, well, almost virtually anybody who was following the market, to ending stocks lower than 801. And USDA says, no, wait a minute, they're quite a bit higher. And the trade is really handling it well if you look at corn futures.
Well, I think it tells you that the trade doesn't necessarily think that USDA is correct on that issue.
They're following the cash.
I guess that's an explanation why I've been a technician over the years. So we'll see how we end up closing today. But, no, when you look at the initial blush, I mean, that's the shock of the old crop situation. New crop really wasn't a shock. There's a lot of people talking about 166 yield, and you multiply it by USDA's March number, you're going to have a big yield. So that's kind of old news in a sense. The soybean thing, anybody that's been watching exports knew that old crop inventory was going to come down significantly on ending stocks. And then, of course, you know, we knew from the March report that the balance sheet on new crop beans were going to be very tight. So I guess the question here, are we seeing the tightest balance sheet in corn, or I mean in beans today, and the loosest balance sheet in corn? And how the growing season plays out over the next 60 days, and then we'll take a look at what happens on the June 1st stocks number. But clearly, I think that June 1st stocks number is at least teed up to be another volatile day in the marketplace, and of course, a lot of it, how volatile it will be, will probably depend upon how the new crop corn crop looks at that time, and whether or not we're in a weather scare or what we're in. But definitely, we're teed up here for some continued volatility as we go forward.
As we look at those new crop ending stocks for soybeans at 145, USDA got there on 73 million acres, so they're saying no changes in the acreage.
I don't think USDA, I imagine they could have faded the statistical boys, because this is a world board outlook, but they really had no reason to. So they had to kind of use USDA's statistical survey numbers for the March report and kind of go from there and trace out what they kind of felt was a demand scenario. My guess is that you're going to find more acres of soybeans at the end of the day, and you may end up finding a few more acres of corn. Maybe the corn will be a surprise, and you won't have quite as much corn. The way the soybeans have gained on corn here over the past 3 months, in many areas, I think the soybean market is beginning to look more attractive probably to producers, and especially after today's surge. You know, you can lock in some $13 cash beans out of the field, and when you look at corn, you're going to lock in something below five. So this may move some acres into soybeans in some areas.
So put today's numbers to the charts and rub up your crystal ball a bit and tell us what you think December corn's going to do.
Well, the trend is down. It's counter-seasonal. And anytime you get into a counter-seasonal situation, it's pretty severe when it goes counter-seasonal. It kind of reminds me of 2010, when we were counter-seasonally declined into a June low, and then summer weather adversities turned things around, and a smaller acreage kind of was the initial turn, and then the weather started to turn adverse. My guess, if I was going to guess, is we may have another week or so of weakness or some stabilization, and then there's maybe a shot at this corn market trying to turn around. So we'll see what probably next week brings, and we'll kind of go from there. But, you know, when you're looking at a a balance sheet that's showing you ending stocks level nearly twice of what you've been used to for the last couple of years, it's going to be kind of hard to excite the trade about a big rally unless we get ourselves into some kind of weather issue down the road here.
And turn your attention then to November soybeans.
Well, the function of the soybean market is basically to encourage more plantings of soybeans. It will encourage a large double crop, and maybe with early wheat harvest, we're going to get some early double crop beans that may have a potential to yield in a little better than average. So, but the bean market is in such a tight situation that we're going to have to slow demand on old crop, and I think we're going to try to encourage more acres of soybeans over the next 30 days or so, and then try to make sure all of the double crop bean acres do get planted.
That encouragement push prices above $14 in the triple top?
Well, the triple tops are always meant to kind of be taken out, so we'll have to see on that. Some of my cyclical work would indicate that we do have time to do that between now and June. But we also got to keep in mind that May is a month that you do have a lot of seasonal highs in May for corn or for soybeans. June is the big month. So I do think producers do need to use their pencil and take a real good look at some of these prices here over the next week or two and decide what they want to do, especially if they're ones that are maybe switching out of corn acres into soybeans because of the market is telling them to do so. They need to probably put some kind of floor price on, a minimum and maximum contract that can be written at a lot of elevators, that type of thing. There is room to go higher. We'll have to kind of take one day at a time.
Turn your attention to the U.S. dollar, where we're, again, at the top of a trading range that we've now seen for the last couple of months.
Yes, and, you know, it's one of these situations that's the Eurozone, and, you know, my guess is the Eurozone's probably not going to get resolved until it is totally dissolved. Now, whether or not that is going to happen, you know, in 2 months or 3 months or 6 months, but and that is what's, you know, encouraging people to move out of the euro, put their wealth in U.S. dollars. So we kind of have a flight to safety type move going on. And, of course, we all know when the dollar strengthens, it takes less dollars to buy a bushel of corn or a bushel of wheat or a bushel of soybeans. So that is all deflationary type price action when you have a stronger dollar like that. So one will have to keep an eye on that.
Thank you, Dan.
Very well.